Genesis chapter 9. And I got into it there, and it just kind of sparked some things. And I thought about Noah and Canaan, and then Cush, and then, you know, Nimrod, and then I started thinking about how this all relates to the Antichrist beast system. Danielle, I hope you're doing well. Good to see you. Been a while since we've seen you on here. I hope you're doing well. Been a while. But anyway, I started reading a little bit about Nimrod, and I went to Hyslop's Two Babylons, and I started poking around there, and that's kind of where the idea to do this came from, and to read some excerpts, a lot of excerpts, and I don't know how far we'll get today. This might be three or four different lessons on Nimrod. I did that years ago, probably, oh, I don't know. Let's look. Uh, 2013. I did some things on Nimrod. And that's been almost 10, well, it's been 10 years. About 10 years ago that I did that. Wow. Time flies by fast when you're having fun. Anyway. So, I started thinking about Nimrod a little bit, and I started reading Hyslop's Two Babylons. And I was just pointing out kind of the history of Nimrod, and I thought about Nimrod. And then it got into the how he was the father of the mysteries. That's kind of what I want to show you today. And then I want to show you Nimrod and the New World Order. But this is really the story of the Antichrist in history. That's really what it is. It's the story of the Antichrist that's told out in history. Nimrod is that picture of the Antichrist. Nimrod is that picture of the beast kingdom together with the man himself. So you have the man and you have the beast and you have the merging of that, and you have a one world movement, a one world government, a one world religious movement. By the words of Babel and the location of Babylon, but by the words Babel, we can ascertain the history of the New Age religions, the history of the rebellion against Christ. So we go from Genesis with Babylon and the kingdom of Babel. And then we go all the way to Revelation at the end, when God will put down Babylon and destroy it forever. It starts in Genesis, shortly after the flood. It will culminate, it will end in Revelation. And it is that mystery, Babylon the Great. How do we know? How do we know that Nimrod's kingdom, Babel, how do we know that Nimrod's kingdom of Babel, that Nimrod is the king of the mysteries? And who was the king of Babylon? Nimrod. Who is the king today of Babylon? The Pope. The Pope is the king. He is that Pontifex Maximus. He is the head of the mysteries. He is that Antichrist. The final one will come. And I believe he will be a Jewish Assyrian person. He will be the Pope. Something the like. That man of sin. And we see from the king of Babylon in Genesis, chapter 10. And we see it all the way in the end of the book. As we look at the beginning of his kingdom here, and they left off. You look at the end. I believe it's a mystery. Let's see. Here it is. Revelation 17:5. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots, and abominations of the earth. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10, 11, 12, 13. 13 words. Rebellion. When did the rebellion start? When did the kingdom of rebellion start? Way back in Genesis. Genesis chapter 10. With the kingdom of Babel. When will it end? The revelation. The end of the revelation. At the end of the age. When it's over. When God puts down that rebellion is still there. Babylon is still there. Nimrod is that Antichrist king. Nimrod is the horned one, the horned god. This is the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. It encompasses all of the harlots. She is the mother of harlots. She is the mother of the abominations of the earth. She is the fountainhead of it all. Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots. And abominations of the earth. So, Pinky Sue asks, do you think they will resurrect Nimrod? I don't think they have to. They already have the succession of Nimrod. They already have the succession of Nimrod. That succession of the man of sin. We'll look and see what the scriptures say about Nimrod. And then we'll look and see, as history goes, and the saga of Nimrod. And the saga of Nimrod is the story of the Antichrist. Make no mistake about it. That is in history everywhere. It is in history everywhere. That mystery, that it is a mystery in history. Well, God reveals the mystery, tells you who it is. If you trace Babel, if you trace Babylon, which was the capital of the kingdom, Babel, if you go back and you trace it from, do it backwards. Go from Revelation 17 and go back. That mystery, Babylon the Great, that mother of harlots, it is a spirit. It is a beast system. It was in Egypt. It was in Jerusalem. It was in Rome. And that spirit settles on Rome today. It is both a man and a beast. It is both a system and a man. And the sons of Cush, Seba, Havilah, Sabta, Rama, Sabteca, and the sons of Rama, Sheba and Dedan. And Cush begat Nimrod. He began to be a mighty one in the earth. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord. Wherefore it is said, even as Nimrod, the mighty hunter before the Lord. And the beginning of his kingdom was Babel. Danielle asked me a question. What made you come up with the Nimrod topic? I was reading my Bible in Genesis chapter 9 and started to look at Nimrod. And Cush begat Nimrod, and he began to be a mighty one in the earth. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord, and wherefore it is said, even as Nimrod, the mighty hunter before the Lord. What does that mean? Well, first he was a hunter of animals. Why was that important? Because in the beginning, Nimrod, what he did was, remember, God gave Noah and man the dominion over all the animals. And there were animals everywhere. And the fear of, and the dread of you shall be upon every creature. Well, before the flood, animals didn't kill man. After the flood, the fear and the dread of them was upon them. So what happened? Animals started killing man. So Nimrod became a mighty hunter. And Nimrod, being a mighty hunter, destroyed animals. So naturally, these people followed Nimrod and looked up to Nimrod. Well, then he started hunting men's heads. He started to hunt men's heads. That's what was next. And Jesus, or and the Lord told them, Be ye fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. Nimrod set up his kingdom, though. Nimrod set his kingdom up in Babel. Where did God say that he was supposed to be a king? Nowhere. But Nimrod, who had this one world government, one world rule desire, set up Babel as his kingdom. Out of the land went forth Asher and builded Nineveh and the city Rehoboth and Cal. That's where Nimrod, he just kept going. He just kept building his kingdom. He became a hunter of men's heads. A killer. A desire to rule and to reign over men. And then we find in Genesis 11. And here was the problem. And here Fastly is becoming the problem again. And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. See, that's the goal of the New World Order. Everybody's got to speak the same thing. Everybody's got to say the same thing. Knocking down all nations. By the way, if you don't like nations, you're not going to like it in the millennial reign either. Because in the millennial reign, there's nations. You ain't going to do away with nations. There's specific nations that come up. The one world religion won't, it's not going to be Luciferianism. It is Luciferianism. It is Luciferianism. Now it is. Right now it is. Because Satan is the god of this world. And you're either Christ or you're Antichrist. You're either on Antichrist team or you're on Christ's side. It is there right now. It is there right now as we speak. But the real question is, what caused it to go into hiding? Why did it become a mystery religion? And the answer to that is right here. The answer to why there are mystery religions today is found in Genesis 10 and 11. This is what sent the Antichrist religion into being a mystery. Because these open mystics, or these open Antichrist people, could not be that open about it after the Lord put it down in Genesis chapter 11. This is what caused the mystery. This is what caused them to go into hiding with what they were doing. Nimrod was very open about what he had done. As he conquered a kingdom. As he was a mighty hunter before the Lord. Stood before the Lord, shaking his fist at the Lord, building a tower. this was not a mystery then. Now, it's a mystery. But it's slowly becoming what? All one again. Yeah. Who wants no nations? Who wants no distinction? Who wants all those things? That's an Antichrist movement. Who wants no distinction of even races? That's an Antichrist movement. I'm not saying you're Antichrist if you don't, if you're fine with that. What I'm saying is that the forcing of that into all one, that's an Antichrist doctrine. That's an Antichrist doctrine to force all into one. And if somebody's understanding is different than yours about that, then you're just a racist. If you don't agree with something or you disagree with something or whatever, you're not allowed to do that today, right? Why? Because the goal is to make them all one. That's the goal. To make them all one. And if you don't agree with that, if you have a problem with that, if you have a problem with that, then you must be a racist. But there's an ideology there. Where does it come from? It comes from an Antichrist spirit. By the way, they're doing it with the sexes. Unisex. Destroying the differences in man and woman. Not just, if there's national or ethnic differences between different groups of people or whatever the case may be. But unisex is the next one. We're going to erase the sexes completely and make them all one. Well, what is that? Where does it come from? It comes from Babylon. If you ask me my opinion, you ask me what do I believe about race mixing. Is that okay? Personally, I'm not for it. I'll be honest with you. I'm not. Personally. But I would never tell somebody else what they have to do or what they can do or whatever the case may be. I don't want it for my family. I believe God made us the way He made us for a reason. And I don't think it's my duty to try to change that. But I'm not going to spy out somebody else's liberty on what they believe is right. Personally, I want my grandchildren to look like me. I just do. I don't want to look like somebody else. I don't look like another race. I don't want him to be that way. But that's not my decision to make for everybody else. That's my decision for my family. I'm not going to tell other people what to do with theirs. I've also seen some of the things that happen with it. Doesn't work out well. Many times. Doesn't mean I hate anybody. Doesn't mean I think anybody's better than anybody. One piece of animated dirt's not better than another piece of animated dirt. We all fall short of the glory of God. Has nothing to do with anybody being smarter than anybody else or more intelligent than anybody else or whatever the case, any of that stuff. I just personally believe that God made us the way he did for a reason. So that's the way I see it, and I don't see why I should try to change that, to be honest with you, or my children should try to change that or anything else. And by the way, I really don't care if somebody wants to call me a racist and label me and say all these things about me. You can say what you want to. I'm not mad at you. You can call me anything you want to. You can put little Hitler symbols on my head or do whatever you want to. You'll be dead wrong. You'll be dead wrong if you accuse me of those things. And I'll stand before God with all of that. But I don't believe so. But anyway, that doesn't mean I love anybody any less. It just doesn't. So anyway, that's an answer to that question. But back to Babel. And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar and they dwelt there. By the way, let me say something to you. I have African friends in the ministry. They believe the same thing that I do about that. Same exact thing. That doesn't mean they're right and I'm right. I'm just telling you, they're my friends and they believe the same thing. Right? They believe the same exact thing. So that isn't my I don't make those decisions for anybody else. But that's where I stand on the subject. And I warn people and teach them, you got a lot, you know, of trials with that. So anyway, that's a decision. I believe that's a decision for fathers to make as far as I'm concerned. You know, for your family, when you're dealing with that, you make that for your own family's decision as a father. If you're fine with that, I don't have to answer for you. What you do with your family, I got to answer what I do with mine. I understand why your dad said that, Elijah Morgan. I absolutely understand. I'm telling you, it's just in this last 40 years of forced amalgamation that the Pope and his white power structure pushed on purpose for a reason to cause race wars. That's what a lot of it is. But anyway, that's not the point of this. I'm not teaching on race, but somebody asked me that question and it's not. Anyway, but there you go. There you have it. So and the whole earth, but I don't believe you see that as the common trend. I don't believe you see interracial marriage as the common trend in scriptures. Right? Well, Carl, that's interesting because Asian would actually be of Jephthah. That would be Jephthah. Is what that would be. And are you Italian? Right? I don't know if you're Italian. Are you Italian, Carl? I forgot. I don't remember. I always call you Rodriguez, but that's, I always joke about that, but. I don't know what nationality you are. Oh, you're Croatian. That's right. I'm sorry. You're Croatian. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. I forgot about that. Well, your picture always reminds me of an Italian dude. So that's why I said that. You know, forgot about that. Anyway, but I just disagree with it, but you don't have to do things because I disagree with it. It's not my problem, or it's not your problem. But I do believe that you don't see that. Shem, Hem, and Japheth. And if you trace Japheth and you trace Shem, most of the Shemites are a group of Shemites were in America as well. Man, I didn't plan on talking about this. How did you guys get me off on this anyway? I wasn't even talking about this. Goodness. You're trying to get everybody mad at me, aren't you? Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The Hamites would be the black race. Much of them would be the black race. And then Shem would be... The Shemites would be, most of them would be, the Shemites would also be Indians, American Indians, and those groups, and others like them. The Indian people would be more, part of the Shemites also as well. And then also then Japhethah, would be the Gentiles, basically. So, and you can kind of trace those down and look at those different things. By the way, there's a lot of interesting studies, but I really don't want to talk about race right now. It's not something that I focus a lot of time about. It's just for what I've come to, I don't see it predominantly in the scriptures as being something to do. But I'm not here to spy out anybody else's liberty on what they decide to do. That's a decision between them, and the Lord. I believe fathers make those decisions as far as for their children and as they marry off their children and such. But there's a lot of people that would disagree with me about those issues, and that's fine. But you see it very popularized in the last 50 years, and there's a reason for that. There's an agenda there for that. But not all nationalities are different races. You have to understand that too as well. So, anyway. But it's interesting, and you know, the Hate Cooley videos will be coming about this. And all that stuff, and, you know, try to, but anyway, the biggest importance is if you're born again by the Spirit of God and you raise your family for Jesus Christ, that's the most important thing you do. I will tell you this, I've seen a lot of problems with interracial marriages and a lot of trouble and heartache and pain that comes from that. When you cross cultures into different things and you deal with those things, they get very, very difficult. I'll put it that way. But I've seen it. So I'm not for it for a lot of reasons. But anyway, you do what's right and you raise your family right. And, you stand before God when it comes to those issues. Not, you don't stand before me or anybody else when it comes to that. You stand before God. So just like I will, for what I believe and what I hold to. Now you got me 45 minutes into this broadcast and I'm still talking about this. Anyway, but that's what I believe about it. And I'm not ashamed of what I believe because I don't believe it's sinful. It's certainly not hateful. It's certainly not hateful. But I would never be hateful to anybody from that standpoint. That's something that you can, but where does that, but the ideology of one race and everything else is right here. One language, one speech, one everything is found here. So I know what I'm talking about when it comes to that. But guess what? It's not very popular to say what I just said about any of those things. And the reason it's not very popular is because if I can label you a racist and shut you up, then you don't have to really tell the truth about some of the problems that get involved with those things as well. So anyway, that's why people don't want to talk about that. So there is an Antichrist agenda to shut that down right away. To shut any type of speech down about that or warnings about any of those things because, well, you're just a racist. You can call me what you want. I'm not. But you can call me that if you'd like to. It makes you feel any better. But I believe what I do, and I believe I can show in the scriptures where that's the right thing, as example of scriptures. But in the end, it's not up to me who you marry. It's up to me who my children marry. I appreciate that, Danielle. I really do. But I again, that's not up to me who you marry. That's between you and the Lord, your father, your mother, your families. You all decide those things and do what the Lord wants you to do concerning that. If you're in the will of God, then, you know, then you'll be fine. Amen. God will take care of you. That's right. I did, Carl. Because I don't believe it's my decision to make for you or for anybody else for that matter. Except my own family. And for reasons that I have for that. Okay. And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. We'll get past this. I promise we will. We'll get to the next verse. Oh, man, the sound clips are coming for Pastor Cooley on this one. I can guarantee you that, man. I'll have 100 sound clips. That's right. The word racist is always misused, but prejudice isn't used enough to describe some people. So, and the whole earth was of one language and of one speech, and it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. That's right. Semites are also Arabs and Assyrians. That's right. Because the Shemites are the Arabian people as well and the Assyrian people as well. See, sometimes people think that something is interracial and it's not actually. Some of those are actually the same races. So there's only three main races also with that. So anyway, that's an interesting topic. Maybe we'll talk about that sometime. And I'll get in even more trouble and have people upset with me about it, I'm sure. But anyway, sometimes people don't understand that some of the are the same race, actually, because there are three main races and when it comes to those things. But anyway, and it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain. And I will do a broadcast on that, Carl. I will. I'll show the differences and trace them down and show the different nations and, you know, peoples and tongues. And we'll kind of do that sometime. So, and show that. And maybe I'll show you why I believe that more. And I believe it's something that I'm pretty settled on. I wasn't before, but I am now. More than ever, that I believe this is right. Because I believe there's an agenda to force, to amalgamate everyone together into one. And it bothers me. It really does. Because I believe I can see it in the destroying of distinctions. And there's a reason. Anytime you see distinctions being destroyed, there's a purpose for that. There's a purpose to destroy distinctions. And we're long past, in many parts of the world, that ever changing anyway in that sense. We're steamrolling through to eternity here, so there's more important things. But it is something that I believe is there. Now, and it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, and they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. So they all got in this, they got into this plain together, this plain, this flat plain. Right? It came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. Big old flat plain of land, right? In Shinar. Probably similar to this picture right here. You see this flat plain of Shinar? That's right, Danielle. You're right about that. So here we have it. Here is the flat land. Here's a picture. I mean, it's a picture. The plain of Shinar. The land of Shinar. And this is the plain, right? The scriptures talk about that. You know, we ain't going to get very far today. That's just going to end up happening. We're just going to... I'll be on this for a month. That's okay, though. That's okay. We're having fun. We're learning stuff. We're talking about, hey, if we can't have a dialogue and disagree about some things or even discuss some things like that, I mean, what kind of Christians are we if we can't even talk about stuff without getting mad at each other and angry and blowing up on each other and labeling each other and all that kind of stuff? There's some things that we ain't going to move on, like the doctrine of Christ, you know, and stuff like that. But I mean, and you know, the King James Bible being the Word of God and those kind of things. But, anyway, so, but when it comes to some other things, we ought to be able to discuss those things and all that good stuff. And they said one to another, so they find this flat land, right? They find this plain, and they find this flat land here. And that's not Nimrod. It's a picture of Nimrod. It's not really Nimrod. This is a statue of Nimrod. It's not really Nimrod. Anyway. Here we have it. And this is the ziggurat, not to be confused with the cigarette. It's not a cigarette that you smoke. That's not a cigarette. It's the ziggurat, not the cigarette. Okay, just so you know. Make sure you understand that. It's important. And they said one to another, go to, let us make brick and burn them throughly. They had brick for stone and slime had they for mortar. And they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower. So there's two things being built here in Babylon. The city and the tower. And I'm going to save that. I'm just going to get to the destruction of this because we're probably going to talk about this in another broadcast. Because otherwise, I'm never going to get to the what I titled this, the father of the mystery religions. I have to show you how he's the father. Of the mystery religion. So. I'm going to read you some things from a book. That deals with the history of Babylon. Nicholas Shrunk said, have you heard the theory there are many antichrists and Nimrod was just one of them? Yes. And I don't disagree with that. It's a secession of man. I believe that also. And there will be a final one that will be the antichrist. All of these men are antichrists. Okay, so I downloaded this book. I bought this book on Kindle for 99 cents. And I recommend you buy this book. It's a great resource to have. It's 99 cents. Now, if you prefer the hardback, I think soft paperback, if you prefer that, then Chick Publications, I believe, sells Hislop's Two Babylons as well. I believe they sell a copy of that. You can buy a copy from them. It's sold a number of different places. You can get a copy of it. The one I bought was from Amazon. It was the seventh edition one that had all the updates that he had made to it, but it's all the text. None of it was taken out or anything like that. So it's all, but some of it's been up, all the updated revisions before the author died or whatever are in there and everything like that. So anyway, that's what is there. So. So in history, Nimrod, the Bible tells us that the kingdom of Nimrod was put down. Babel was put down. Nicholas, it's the seventh edition. Seventh edition. So Nimrod, his kingdom was put down, but the spirit of that kingdom lived on into the mysteries. The mystery religions all picked up at this point. Historically speaking, this is where the mystery religions. Now, what proof do I have in the scriptures of that? Well, I have the proof of mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. That's how I know the general understanding of what history says, not maybe not so much every fact, I'm not saying that, but the history of Nimrod, the history of Babylon, the history of the mystery religions, all culminate, they'll culminate at the end when that time comes, but they have been there, the mystery of iniquity, that mystery has been there, those mystery religions that are all the mystery of iniquity. I got rid of that guy, whoever it was. I don't know if I did on YouTube, though. I probably hit the wrong button. Hang on, let me see if I can find him. YouTube, though. I got rid of him on the other one. I don't see his comments there anymore. I got rid of him on Restream, which doesn't mean anything to you, but I already got rid of him, but the one pervert or whatever that was, yes, I got rid of him. Okay, so we have that mystery starting out here. Now, I'm going to read you some things from Hislop's Two Babylons. We're not going to get through it today. I got an hour to go here, and I'm not going to make it. Let me see if I can find him here. Let me try to get rid of that one. Hang on. I'll have to try it again. There it is right there. Okay. All right. I blocked the user on YouTube. Blocked them on Restream. Okay, there you go. They should be gone now. I'm sorry. I just blocked them just now, so it should take a second, but it should come up, okay? Not tomorrow, Friday. We'll continue on with this series, I'm sure. I got a lot of stuff I could show you. But Hislop's Two Babylons, great book. All right, here's the first one. The zodiacal signs show unequivocally that the Greeks derived their notions and arrangements of the zodiac, and consequently their mythology that was intertwined with it, from the Chaldees. The identity of Nimrod with the constellation Orion is not to be rejected. So you have the constellation Orion. Okay. Here is the constellation Orion. That's the hunter. That's the mighty hunter before the Lord. That's who that is. So that's one reference. That's one reference to Orion, Osiris, Nimrod. Okay. Another god that was made up after Nimrod. The Cronus, to whom Hesiod refers is evidently at bottom of the different Cronus, from the human father of the gods, or Nimrod, whose history occupies so large place in this work. How about Pluto? As the name Pluto has the very same meaning as Saturn, the hidden one, so whatever other aspects this name had as applied to the father of the gods, it is to Satan, the hidden lord of hell, ultimately that all came at last to be traced back for the different myths about Saturn, when carefully examined, showed that he was at once the devil, the father of all sin and idolatry, who hid himself under the disguise of the serpent, and Adam, who had hid himself among the trees of the garden, and Noah, who lay hid for a whole year in the ark, and Nimrod, who was hid in the secrecy of the Babylonian mysteries. It was to glorify Nimrod that the whole Chaldean system of iniquity was formed. He was known as Nin, the son, and his wife as Rhea, who was called Amos, the mother. The name Rhea, as applied to Semiramis, had another meaning from what it had been applied to her, who was really the primeval goddess, the mother of gods. Although the son she bore in her arms was represented as he who was born to destroy death, yet she was often represented with the very symbols of her who brought death into the world. Okay. I am going to go down a few here because I have a ton of information here. Give me a second here. I'm looking for one quote in particular that I want you to hear first. And it's the important one, so. Oh, by the way, this one is fine, too. But in point of fact, he said, we shall find in the course of our inquiry that Nimrod was the actual father of the gods as being the first of deified mortals. Now, this is in history. He's not talking about the Bible. He's talking about how these cultures viewed Nimrod. Okay? He's that figure in their history. They immortalized Nimrod. And all of the mystery religions do that in some form or fashion. But in point of fact, as being the first of deified mortals, and that therefore it is in exact accordance with the historical fact that Cronus, the horned or mighty one, is in the classic pantheon known by that title. The meaning of this name Cronus, the horned one, as applied to Nimrod, fully explains the origin of the remarkable symbol so frequently occurring among the Nineveh sculptures, the gigantic horned man bull, as representing the great divinities in Assyria. The same word that signified a bull signified also a ruler or a prince. Okay. You're going to skip. Let's talk about the double horn here for a second. The double horn had evidently been the original symbol of power or might on the part of sovereigns. For on the Egyptian monuments, the heads of the deified royal personages have generally no more than two horns to shadow forth their power. As the sovereignty in Nimrod's case was founded on physical force, so the two horns of the bull were the symbols of that physical force. And in accordance with this, we read in the Sanchuniathon, that Astarte put on her own head a bull's head as the ensign of royalty. By and by, however, another and a higher idea came in, and the expression of that idea was seen in the symbol of the three horns. Now remember, the horns, the horned gods, the horns are a sign of power, and the horns are a sign of that ruling and reigning. That leadership, that ruling, rulership over men. All right? It's the original symbol of power. The Bible talks about the horn, right? The little horn, the big horn, right? It talks about the horn, right? So we understand that. Here's another one. The god Mars, the Roman god Mars. Gruder's inscriptions, as quoted by Bryant, we find the title also given to Mars, the Roman war god, exactly coincident in meaning with that of Melkart. We have elsewhere seen abundant reason to conclude that the original of Mars was Nimrod. The title to which I refer confirms this conclusion, and it is contained in a Roman inscription on an ancient temple in Spain. This title shows that the temple was dedicated to Mars Ker Aden, the lord of the Ker, or walled city, the Roman sea, as well known as hard, like K, and Adon, lord, is also Aden. This describes the Roman god, Mars, which is nothing more than Nimrod. It's Nimrod. That's who it is. Nimrod is also Osiris. This was the way in which Osiris the sun, the husband of his mother, was often exhibited in what we learn of this god, equally as in the case of Cones. Knows that in his original, he was none other than Nimrod. It is admitted that the secret, listen, here's what I want you to pay attention to very closely. Because this is what the Freemasons admit to. Right? That is it. The Freemasonry is a mystery religion. The universal sentiment of the Masons of the present day is to confer upon Solomon, king of Israel, the honor of being their first Grand Master. But the legend of the craft had long before, though there was a tradition of the temple extent, bestowed at least by implication that title upon Nimrod, the king of Babylonia and Assyria. It had attributed the first organization of a fraternity of craftsmen to him, in saying that he gave a charge to the workmen whom he sent to assist Nineveh in building his cities. This is to say he framed for them a constitution, and in the words of the legend, this was the first time that ever Masons had any charge of his science. It was the first time that the craft were organized into a fraternity working under a constitution, a body of laws. And Nimrod was the autocratic maker of these laws. It results as a necessary consequence that their first legislator, legislating with dictatorial and unrestricted sovereign power, was also their grand master. Who was this Nimrod? Who was this Nimrod who held so exalted a position in the eyes of the old legendist? We know who he is. We know who this Nimrod is. He is the Antichrist. He is the man of sin. He is the son of perdition. He is that mystery of iniquity that doth already work. He is the head of the mysteries. He is there. He is their capstone that the NIV calls it. Throw away your NIV. Calls Jesus the capstone. Jesus is not the capstone. The Antichrist is the capstone. If you don't believe me, then listen. Let me go here. Go listen to this sermon. The Jesus of the NIV is the Antichrist, seed of Satan. Go listen to that sermon I preached back in 2017. I preached it again, I think, in 2018 at Pastor Hoggard's church, I believe. Or something similar to it. I don't even remember. Anyway. This is the Antichrist series that I did. If you ever want to listen to a complete series on the Antichrist, there it is. 21 sermons or more on the Antichrist. But back to Babel we go. So, I don't know what NID is. What does that mean? I thought, what does that mean? I thought you were say NID. I don't know what that means. Anyway, I'm going to keep going. Okay, so back to Babel we go here. And that is the mystery. That is the mystery. That is the mystery there. So you see that the Masonic order, what they said. Now listen to what, so that's the Masonic order's own testimony of who they are. Now the new ones don't like to talk about that, do they? I don't care who they say, we know that's a mystery religion. This way was the way in which Osiris, the son, the husband of his mother, was often exhibited. And what we learn of this god, equally as in the case of Cones, shows that in his original he was none other than Nimrod. It is admitted that the secret system of Freemasonry was originally founded on the mysteries of the Egyptian Isis, the goddess mother or wife of Osiris. But what could have led to the union of a Masonic body with these mysteries? Had they not had particular reference to architecture? And had the god who was worshipped in them not been celebrated for his success in perfecting the art of fortification and building? Now, if such were the case, considering the relation in which, as we have already seen, Egypt stood to Babylon, who would naturally be looked up to there as the great patron of the Masonic art? The strong presumption is that Nimrod must have been the man. He was the first that gained fame in this way. As the child of the Babylonian goddess mother, he was worshipped, as we have seen in the character of Al-Mahazim, the god of fortifications. Osiris, in like manner, the child of the Egyptian Madonna, was equally celebrated as the strong chief of the buildings. This strong chief of the buildings was originally worshipped in Egypt with every physical characteristic of Nimrod. I've already noticed the fact that Nimrod, as the son of Cush, was a Negro. Now, there was a tradition in Egypt recorded by Plutarch, that Osiris was black, which in the land where the general complexion was dusky, must have implied something more than ordinary in his darkness. Plutarch also states that Horus, the son of Osiris, was of a fair complexion. So basically what he's saying is that Nimrod was probably black, and that they morphed that god later on into being a different color because a lot of the cultures may not have wanted to worship him because of his color. That's what Hislop is saying historically was the case. In Wilkinson's may be found a representation of him with the unmistakable features of the genuine Cushite, or Negro, he says. Bunsen would have it that it is a mere random importation from some of the barbaric tribes, but the dress in which this Negro god is arrayed tells a different tale. That dress directly connects him with Nimrod. This Negro-featured Osiris is clothed from the head to foot in a spotted dress, the upper part being of leopard skin and underpart also being spotted to correspond with it. Now the name Nimrod signifies the subduer of the leopard. Meaning that Nimrod was a mighty hunter. And Nimrod went out and destroyed those leopards or those animals or those lions. You always see him with like a lion. Right? When you see Nimrod, you always see him like subduing an animal and having great power to subdue animals. If I could find the one historic picture that's out there, let me see. And oh, here's one. Here's one like this, okay? Yes, Aaron, he is. Here is the horned god, Nimrod. I was looking to see if they showed the... let's see if they show Nimrod and the... See if they have that picture. That is not what I was looking for. How in the world do people get that stuff out of that? That's why I need to remember to do this offline. Or not offline, but off camera. And these people are just stinking perverts, man. Unbelievable. Check this out. Not that. That. Look, if Nimrod in this picture, if Nimrod in this picture were to stand, he would be huge. Right? He'd be huge. No, he wasn't the first giant because he would be after the flood. There is question whether Nimrod was a giant because he is called a Gibor. That word mighty in the King James Bible, it means Gibor. It's the same word, Gibor, mighty one. Right? Some people believe that that Nimrod was a giant. Yes, that is a very common teaching. Because the Bible doesn't call him a giant, it says a mighty one. Mighty men of old, men of renown, right? That the Bible talks about those men too like that. So it's very possible. Let's see if I can view this file. There we go. Do you see Nimrod? Do you see the depiction of Nimrod? Do you see that cat in his hand? He's holding like a little kitty cat. Do you see how big he is? This is always the depiction of Nimrod. He's always large, a big man, big barrel-chested man, like Abraham, big barrel-chested man. No, not like that. Big barrel-chested man. So here you have him holding this. He was a subduer. Then he became the hunter of men's heads. But he would subdue Jesse. No, he didn't subdue Jesse. Yes, he does think that. So, Nimrod, that word from Nimr, a leopard, and Rada, to subdue, according to the invariable custom in Hebrew, when two consonants come together as the two Nimrod, one of them is sunk. Thus, Nineveh, the inhabitants of Ninus, became Nineveh. The name Nimrod is commonly derived from Merid, to rebel. But a difficulty has always been found. Okay, so anyway, we don't care about that. But there's no doubt that Nimrod was a rebel and that his rebellion was celebrated in ancient myths. But his name and that character was not Nimrod, but Merodach in history, as among the Romans, Mars, the rebel, or among the Oscans of Italy, the Mammers, the causer of rebellion. I tried to look up Nimrod holding a lion, and I just about got defiled. So that's the one right there that you can, that's the best one I'm going to do. Anyway. Right, the lion looks like a little kitty cat in his hands. Notice he's got the serpent in the other hand or something in his other hand. So this is the depiction of Nimrod. The name simply means to imply that as Nimrod had gained fame by subduing the horse and so making use of it in the chase, so his fame as a huntsman rested mainly on this, that he found out the art of making the leopard aid him in hunting the other wild beasts. So in other words, another thing that historically speaking they say that Nimrod did was he trained a leopard to hunt animals for him. So he actually subdued the leopard and made the leopard hunt for him. A particular kind of tame leopard is used in India at this day for hunting. And of Bagajet the first, the Mughal emperor of India, it is recorded that in his hunting establishment, he had not only hounds of various breeds, but leopards also, whose collars were set with jewels. Upon the words of the prophet Habakkuk, swifter than leopards, Kiddo has the following remarks. The swiftness of the leopard is proverbial in all countries where it is found. This, conjoined with its other qualities, suggested the idea in the East of partially training it, that it might be employed in hunting. Leopards are now rarely kept for hunting in Western Asia, unless by kings and governors, but they are more common in the east parts of Asia. Orosius relates that one was sent by the king of Portugal to the Pope, which excited great astonishment by the way in which it overtook and the facility with which it killed deer and wild boars. Le Bruin mentions a leopard kept by Pasha, who governed Gaza and the other territories of the ancient Philistines, and which he frequently employed in hunting jackals. But it is in India the cheetah or hunting leopard is most frequently employed and is seen in the perfection of his power. The custom of taming the leopard and pressing it into the service of a man in this way is traced up to the earliest times of the primitive antiquity. So in other words, there's a lot of history of those leopards, and you see this tiger, leopard, whatever it is. Right? You see this in his hand, and he's holding it up to show that he has tamed it. He's tamed it to use it. So picture Nimrod gathering this country together in the plain of Shinar, building a nation of revolt against God to turn the nations of the world against God already after the flood, because the fear of man was there, but they lost their fear of God again. Shem is still alive. Noah is still alive. Shem outlives Noah by 150 years. That's it. Shem lives to be over 600 years old, but Noah lives to be 950 years old. He lives 350 years after the flood. Shem only outlives Noah by 150 years. Do you understand that during this time of intense warfare of Babylon, that Shem is watching seven generations of his family die before him? Because Shem has the old genes in him. So Shem outlives all of them. Because Shem lives 500 years after the flood. So he watches his he watches seven generations die of his children and his grandchildren die and his great-grandchildren and his great-great-grandchildren die, and he outlives them all. And this rebellious Nimrod rises up to the scene to start a one-world government, a one-world antichrist religion. So, in stories, Hercules is nothing more than Nimrod. As it is a universal principle in all idolatries that the high priest wears the insignia of the god he serves, this indicates the importance which the spotted skin must have had attached to it as a symbol of the god himself. The ordinary way in which the favorite Egyptian divinity Osiris was mystically represented was under the form of a young bull or calf, the calf Apis, from which the golden calf of the Israelites was borrowed. There was a reason why that calf should not commonly appear in the appropriate symbols of the god he represented, for that calf represented the divinity in the character of Saturn, the hidden one, Apis, being one another name for Saturn. The Apis bull, Saturn, Satan, Nimrod, the slain and risen Osiris. This is what they were mocking. This is their religion. And it's still here today, and it's present in Rome, and it's present in the Kabbalistic orders, and it's present in Kabbalistic Judaism, and it's present in Gilgamesh. It's the same religion. And I looked at the clock and it's 3:33. How do I do that all the time? Anyway. The cow of Athor, however, the female divinity corresponding to Apis, is well known as a spotted cow. See, the spotted leper. Those in Britain worshipped a spotted cow. The Davies Druid in the Druids did that. Rare though it be, however, to find an instance of a deified calf or young bull represented with the spots, there is evidence still in existence that even it was sometimes so represented. The accompanying figure represents that divinity as copied by Colonel Hamilton Smith from the original collection made by the artists of the French Institute of Cairo. So Osiris and the grand god of Egypt under different forms was thus arrayed in a leopard skin or a spotted dress, and the leopard skin dress was indispensable. Why? Because that god Osiris is Nimrod. They all tell the same story. They're all telling the same story over and over again. Right? They have the same story to tell. All right, let's keep going. You know we're going to have to do this again. We ain't going to finish any of this, but that's all right. Okay. He worshipped the spotted cow, the priest of the revolver, titles evidently. The Greeks made the father of that mythical race, even they themselves. Centaurs! Look at that. Shall we try it offline first, just in case? Yes, I think that's a good idea. They don't defile any of you. Here we go. Let me try to get the most tame one I can find. I don't know what that is. That's pretty much the most tame one I can find. That one's not bad. Okay. So, this is a centaur. All right? This is that Apis bull. This is that god Nimrod. Barbara Semenek, I will put the link right here in the chat. And that is only going to cost you $19.99. But I just happen to have a coupon for $19.99 off. Therefore, it's zero today. It's on the house. Hey, no problem, Barbara. We aim to please around here. Well, sort of. Till we make you mad, then we don't aim to please anymore. Done with that. Anyway, here you go right here. This is your centaurs. What is this? This is Nimrod. It is the horned god. It is the centaur. Hey, I'm not one of those cool guys that has that. What do you call that? That super chat? I don't have that, man. Those guys look cool. They're talking. All of a sudden, it's like, ching, 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 ching. Super chat time. Jing, 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 and they... Oh, that's funny. Okay. Okay. Now, Islop says this about the centaur. He said that he talks about the priest of Baal, or the sun, which there can be no doubt was the distinguishing title of Nimrod, as the title of Centaurus, thus exactly agrees with the known position of Nimrod. So the history of the father of the centaurs does the same. We have seen already that though Ixion was by the Greeks made the father of that mythical race, even they themselves admitted that the centaurs had much higher origin, and consequently that Ixion, which seems to be a Grecian name, had taken the place of an earlier name, according to that propensity particularly noticed by Salvoretti, which has often led mankind to apply to personages known in one time, in one country, myths which they have borrowed from another country and an earlier epoch. Let this be admitted to be the case here. Let only the name of Ixion be removed, and it will be seen that all that is said of the father of the centaurs, the horsemen archers, applies exactly to Nimrod, as represented by the different myths that refer to the first prognosticators of the centaurs. First, then, Centaurus is represented as having been taken up to heaven, that is, as having been highly exalted through special favor of heaven. Then, in that state of exaltation, he is said to have fallen in love with Nephil, who passed under the name Juno, the queen of heaven. Ah, that sounds familiar, doesn't it? Nicholas said, I don't see anything wrong with for people getting paid. No, I don't have a problem with people getting paid either, Nicholas. I don't have a problem with that. I have a donate button. I tell people if they want to, they can donate, but I don't monetize things. But I'm a pastor of a local New Testament church, so I do spend hours studying for our church, but I also spend hours studying for people out there, for all of you. To be a blessing to you. But I always give people the opportunity to give if they'd like to. I don't think there's anything wrong with that either. But I don't do super chats or anything like that because I never monetized anything because I just don't feel like it's right to do that. But people give, they send stuff to me. People mail stuff, PayPal or Cash App or any of those things. And I appreciate it. I do. I don't have a problem with those people to do that. I just joke around about it. But I give people the opportunity, you know, to give. But I don't anyway want to force anybody to do anything. You know what I mean? I would just feel weird about some of that stuff. I couldn't monetize my account. That I couldn't do. It's just weird. I used to send CDs out for free to people and just leave a slip if they wanted to donate to us. Most people didn't. Some people did. You know, so it just, but God took care of us and all that. You know what I mean? So, and still does. Amen. All right. Then the revolving wheel very clearly points to the name Centaurus itself as denoting the priest of the revolving sun. To the worship of the sun in the character of the revolver, there was a very distant allusion not only to the circle among the pagans was the emblem of the sun god and the blazing wheel with which was so frequently represented. Those are Bacchanalians. Okay? That's the same god, Bacchanalia. Thus much for Egypt coming into Greece. So now you're going over, okay? So now you're taking, you go from the different cultures. Remember, Nimrod's story, the Antichrist story. It's going from one culture to another. It's going from one nation to another. It's going from one group of people to another. That's what it's doing. Now in Greece, the god worshipped as a child in the arms of the great mother in Greece under the names of Dionysus or Bacchus is by ancient inquirers expressly identified with the Egyptian Osiris. They are the same god. See, Nimrod is that Antichrist. Nimrod is that fallen one. Nimrod is that representation of the mystery of iniquity. Remember, it's a mystery. And we're not even going to get to what forced them into the mystery yet, I don't think. I hope you're learning something. We talk about this verse a lot because we are in the end times, Antichrist times. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. The mystery of iniquity. Hidden. The Antichrist is the head of the mystery religions. They are bringing on their God. Do you understand that? They're all... Hollywood tells the story. How about The Rock's new flop? The Rock's new flop. What's it called? Black Adam or something like that? Who is that? I don't know. Look what's behind him. Who do you think it is? It's like a pyramid behind him. Wait, now are you saying that's the Antichrist? That's Nimrod? Yeah. Well, I ain't saying it. He is. Look at his symbols. I beheld what? And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. There it is. You mean that's Nimrod? Boy, there's the capstone. Look at the pyramid behind him. What do you think? What do you think they're saying? I think you know what they're saying. I mean, I do think it's interesting that history, many believe that Nimrod was black, and then you have The Rock, right? Who's picturing Nimrod, the forerunner to the Antichrist. There's the pyramid right behind him. He's the Black Adam. You see it, right? Masonic order all over it. That's what the Bible warns us of. The mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. They're telling the story of the Antichrist. Nimrod, they're telling the story of Nimrod. In every culture, they're telling the story of the Antichrist. That's what the, in whatever, Osiris, that is Osiris. With a leopard skin. By the way, in Greece, he's called Nebrod. The god is called Nebrod. And in the fake Greek Septuagint, translated in Egypt, the name of Nimrod is Nebrod. Wow. When Nimrod, as the leopard tamer, began to be clothed with the leopard skin as the trophy of his skill, his spotted dress and appearance must have impressed the imaginations of those who saw him. And he came to be called not only the subduer of the spotted one, for such is the precise name of Nimri, the name of the leopard, but to be called the spotted one himself. We have distinct evidence of this effect borne by Damascus, who tells us that the Babylonians called the only son of the great goddess mother Mumus in Chaldee, like Nimri, signified the spotted one. Thus, then it became easy to represent Nimrod by the symbol of the spotted fawn. Especially in Greece, and wherever a pronunciation akin to that of Greece prevailed, the name of Nimrod, as known as the Greeks, was Nebrod. Well, let's see if we find it. Interesting, isn't it? In the Greek Septuagint, the Greek name for Nimrod is found there. In the Greek, it's called Nebrod. So their god is called Nebrod. Right? There you go. Nebros, the name of the fawn, signifies the spotted one in Egypt, would also be called Nibri for Bunsen, shows that the M and the B in the land were convertible. We have evidence that this god, whose emblem was Nibros, was known as having the very lineage of Nimrod. But who was Aethiopes? And the Ethiopians were Cushites, so the Ethiopian was Cush. Cush, says Eusebius, was he from whom came the Ethiopians. The testimony of Josephus is the same effect. As the father of the Ethiopians, Cush was Aethiops, by way of eminence. Therefore, Epiphanius, referring to the extraction of Nimrod, thus speaks, Nimrod, the son of Cush, the Aethiop. Now, as Bacchus was the son of Aethiops, or Cush, so to the eyes, he was represented in that character. As Nin, the son that was portrayed as the youth or child, and that youth or child was generally depicted with a cup in his hand. That cup to the multitude exhibited him as the god of drunken revelry. And of such revelry as his orgies. No doubt there was abundance, but yet after all, the cup was mainly a hieroglyphic, and that the name of the god. The name of the cup in the sacred language was Cush, and the cup in his hand of the youthful Bacchus, the son of Ethiopes, showed that he was the young Cush, or the son of Cush. In the accompanying woodcut, I can't show you that, the cup in the right hand of Bacchus is held up in a significant way, as naturally to suggest that it must be a symbol, and as to the branch on the other hand, yeah, he's the phony branch. They called him the branch of Mars. Son of Mars. Okay, well, I think we're going to have to stop right there. But let me stop here and say this to you. If you're following any of the mystery religions, those Antichrist religions, you need to repent and believe the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus died for your sins, according to the scriptures. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that he was seen of James and of the apostles, and last of all he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. For I am the least of all the apostles, that I am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. Now Paul preached Christ and him crucified, and we preach Christ and him crucified to you today. Marvel not that you must be born again. You must repent and believe the gospel of Jesus Christ. You must be saved. You must be born again. You must repent. Jesus said that all men have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. Catching Predator said, since I married another race, should I divorce? No, I didn't tell you to do that. I think you should love your wife and you should be a good husband to her. That's what I think you should do. I think you should love your wife, and I think you should be a good husband. That's what I think you should do. I think you should lead your family. I think you should raise your children for the Lord. That's what I think you should do, according to the scriptures. Because guess what? I ain't going to tell you what to do with your family, and you ain't going to tell me what to do with mine. Right? But what you know we all have to do is love the Lord and love one another, and we all have to be faithful in our leadership of our families and our homes. There are no second-class citizens in heaven or to heaven either. Most important thing you can do is love your family. Then,
once again, I face Satan this morning.